I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of The Memo. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Brad Locke. Today is Thursday, February 4th. Happy that's
the 14th.
Yeah, I get those backwards.
Happy day after National Signing Day, where all the football writers can maybe take a nap.
Here's what I think. We should have just compiled everything. Groundhog's Day, the Iowa caucus, Signing Day. Let's just put it all in one big day.
Valentine's Day, too.
And get it over with. Sure.
Lump it in there.
Yeah.
The most useless and pointless completely commercial holiday of them all is Valentine's Day, by the way.
It's a Hallmark holiday.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm still getting my wife and daughters stuff. I'm not stupid, but let's be honest.
But if you lump Groundhog's Day and Valentine's Day together, that's a big risk that you could get stuck in Valentine's Day for like
if the groundhog sees a shadow, you another 6 weeks of marriage or something. I don't know.
I was thinking more along the lines of the movie.
Oh man, what is that? No, I got the movie reference. I do love that movie. But yes, that would I just get it all over with in one day. It was like three things in a row we had to get through.
Yeah. If y'all saw the journal today, we had so much dadgum sports copy because of National Signing Day mostly, which I want to talk about a little bit off the top.
We had a lot of entertainment copy, too.
Chris put it on the script, so we have to talk about it now. Okay. No, but seriously, it's a big deal, obviously, around here. Ole Miss and State, both with their signing classes for 2016, got everybody to send in the faxes yesterday.
The only time a fax machine ever gets used in the new millennium.
The only time. It's just hilarious. Well, can we email? Can I email you? Can I scan and email you my letter of intent? No, you got
to
fax it.
And to me, it's so archaic because if you get two coming in at the same time, they're not going to go through.
Yeah,
that was supposed to be funnier.
JoJo Football didn't get to sign with Ole Miss because you got backed up in the fax machine.
And he put it in backwards. It was facing up.
That too. Yeah, I always have to stop and think for a second when I do a fax. So I fax something like once a year.
I have to do like Chandler did on Friends, or Joey did on Friends. When he get lost, he'd put the map on the ground and stand on the map to figure out where he was.
That's close to me when it comes to directions.
I always do that with the printer, though. I follow the paper through. I'm like, okay, if I put it in this, especially if it's got letterhead or something, I'm like, if it's coming through this way, and then it's going to go through, and then no.
And then I just stand there and wait for it to dial and pick up, and then it goes through, and I'm like, what point do I leave the fax machine?
Do I ask it if it had a nice day?
It's supposed to send me your send receipt? I don't know.
Do I pick it up and say thank you on the other end?
I don't know.
Are there some people still in a room somewhere with like old patch panels doing cords to get fax machines to go through?
Probably. Anyway, Ole Miss had a good class, rated number 6, I believe, in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. And Hugh Freeze thinks it's deeper than the 2013 class, which was a huge signing class. It had Laquan Treadwell, Laramie Tunsil, Robert Kendiche, a lot of people like that. And he thinks this one's actually deeper, which I think it was probably the number 2 or 3 class in the SEC. Depends. I mean, there's different rankings, so it depends what you look at.
Who are some of the key guys for them in this year's class to look at?
Well, they got Greg Little, big-time five-star offensive tackle. They're looking for him to replace Laramie Tunsil. So, you know, be interesting to see if he plays as a freshman. A.J. Brown, big-time receiver out of Starkville. They picked him right out of MSU's backyard.
That was the big news yesterday, I guess, right?
Yeah, it pretty much came down to Ole Miss and Alabama.
To me, the biggest news of the morning was Deontay Anderson jumping out of an airplane.
Who? Oh, yeah. I didn't see that, but I heard about it.
Yeah, it's a good video.
The guy committed by jumping out of an airplane.
He jumped out of the airplane. When he hit the ground, he ripped his shirt open like Superman, and it said Hotty Toddy underneath it.
It'd be kind of awkward if the chute didn't open and he'd already sent in his letter. Then what do you do then? Can he be like, hey, can we sign an extra guy? I mean, that's a risky move.
It just got dark in here.
It's a risky move to jump out of a plane.
It just got real dark in here.
Go big or go home, Brad.
Jeez. I guess. Yeah, it is getting. I think that whole.
He was already on Ole Miss's insurance.
Yeah, this whole trend of making your announcement bigger and bigger has kind of jumped the shark.
Right, jumped.
When guys were jumping out of planes.
He was jumping tandem, so it was fine. He wasn't alone.
Okay, that's good.
There was somebody with him.
Who else did they get? Let me see.
Shea Patterson, right?
Shea Patterson, the quarterback. Maybe if I actually went to the signing list that we put online, I would, or in the paper. Yeah, it's right there, Chris, on like page three. Here we go. It's a newspaper. Is that annoying? Too bad. They got I don't know how many people they got. I can't count that high. But man, they have like 80 of these guys already enrolled, like a Charles Wiley, defensive end out of Georgia. We mentioned Patterson. He's already enrolled. Eli Johnson from Lafayette High School right there in their backyard. Benito Jones, that's a big signee for them. The kid from Wayne County, they defeated Oxford in the state championship, 5A.
Defensive lineman?
Yeah, defensive lineman. I think he scored a touchdown in that game, too. They put him in on offense or something. He's a beast is what he is. So that's a heck of a signing class for the Ole Miss Rebels and Hugh Freeze. I guess this will continue the conspiracy theories from MSU fans and others.
Yeah, tell me more about MSU's class from what you know of it. I mean, I know they got that receiver from Knoxby was maybe their big news of the day.
I think he's a defensive lineman.
Defensive lineman.
Jeffrey Simmons. Yeah, he is, I believe, the number one recruit in the state. And Dan Mullen, of course, always emphasizes in-state recruits. I believe 10 of the 18 signees were from Mississippi. And Jeffrey Simmons, a big-time five-star defensive end out of Knoxby County. He picked state, and a lot of people thought he might pick Ole Miss. So that's a huge signing there for the Bulldogs. Not the best class. I think they're rated 31st nationally, 11th in the SEC. Which, you know, the SEC is pretty much going to have. I mean, they're 11th, but they're 31st overall. So 11 of the top 31 schools are SEC. I mean, it's just that close and that tight. Mm-hmm. So it looks like a pretty decent class, not on paper at least, not the level that Ole Miss got, but they did get Jeffrey Simmons. They got a kid from Starkville, Kobe Jones, four-star defensive tackle, and that was huge too. So, and they got a few guys enrolling early. They did lose out on the Lashley kid from West Point, offensive lineman, went to Alabama. So, you know, it's not a woohoo big time class, but it's not a bad class. And here's the thing about Dan Mullen and MSU. They're not going to have top 10 signing classes. They never have. But they do a good job once they get these kids on campus of developing the talent. I mean, they've turned a lot of three-stars into big-time players. Being a prime example, came out of Houghton, Louisiana, a dual-threat quarterback. Three-star, solid-looking prospect, and he exited MSU owning most of the passing records and probably the single greatest player to ever come through Mississippi State. Certainly the best quarterback, anyway. Mm-hmm. That's why Dan doesn't maybe put as much emphasis on the ratings as some people do, because that's kind of what they do. They get those guys in there like that, and they'll develop that talent and turn three stars into four and five stars, is how he's been known to put it. So we'll see how it all pans out, of course. I mean, good for Ole Miss getting a huge signing class like that. They should be tough to deal with for years to come. But MSU, they're going to have some talent as well. So it's going to be fun. This rivalry between Ole Miss and State is really kind of ratcheted up since Dan Mullen got there, really. I mean, it's always been intense, but, he kind of injected a little swagger into it, have you. And now Hugh Freeze is kind of doing the same thing, especially with all the talent he's getting in. The Rebels have won, two straight Egg Bowls, but this thing goes back and forth, the Egg Bowl and the rivalry. So it's fun to see them both doing well on the field. They both had good seasons, got to good bowl games, and both have solid signing classes. So we'll see how these players do down the line. Any thoughts, Derek?
Many. No, I think just from watching social media alone yesterday, signing day has come a long way. Even though to still use the fax machines, but watching Ole Miss rally around all their gets, and Mississippi State as well, but Ole Miss, I think, made a much bigger deal out of their gets than State did.
Yeah. I mean, and again, on paper, their class has a bigger splash factor than MSU's, but still got to get on the field and get the job done. If you want to hear more and much more informed analysis of these signing classes, listen to a double coverage with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. They're our Ole Miss and Mississippi State beat reporters, and a new episode of double coverage will drop this afternoon. You can check it out on iTunes, on your podcast app, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. And also, high school sports fans, a new episode of Prep Rally dropped on Wednesday. You can check that out at preprally.djournal.com, also on iTunes. And your podcast apps, I had David Wheeler on to talk about Tupelo hoops. Tupelo actually lost last night to boys and girls over in a couple of big games down in Columbus, a big division game. So those races are tightening up with the boys and girls in 2-6A. But still, both Tupelo squads having fine seasons. So give that a listen.
Is there a Prep Rally jinx now?
I don't know. Maybe so. We jinxed them. We talked about them for a good bit. And Maybe we jinxed them, Chris. Apologies if so, but no. But I think that's only the third loss for the boys.
You can send in complaints to Brad Locke, care of the Daily Journal, at 1242 South Green Street,
or email us at preprally@journalinc.com. Let's welcome in now Edwin Crenshaw. He's the fitness supervisor for North Mississippi Wellness Center. So we're going to talk fitness. Edwin, welcome in.
Good to be here. Yes, it's a pleasure.
Brother, by the way, of one Richard Crenshaw, who's worked in the advertising department here for a long, long time. Long time.
Many, many years.
He's older than you, right?
Much older. Much older.
Yeah, Richard always keeps us laughing, though. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, if he has he done it? Well, you know about Elvis, but then he laughs and does his quirky talks and talks like Donald Duck.
I'm not sure if I've heard that one. I might have once. I have to ask him about that. I have to ask Richard about
that.
Get
him going on that.
So, Edwin, it's February now. Again, you're a fitness supervisor over there. So, I guess when January cranked up, you saw the usual rush of new faces.
New Year's resolutioners.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have
always, each year, they make great plans, good intentions. Sometimes they don't go very far.
Yeah, and now that it's February, you're kind of starting to see some of those people kind of trickle off.
You do a little of each. Some that are sticking to a plan. That's the main thing, is have a goal, try to plan and stick with it, and be accountable to someone. But there are a lot that great intentions go for 2 weeks, and then they just they're not motivated. They don't have anybody to be accountable for, and then they typically sleep in.
Yeah,
and it goes down from there.
Yeah, from personal experience, last year, and this wasn't because of resolution, I'd been trying to get into the gym in the fall of 14. I was always just kind of sporadically going for years. And then finally last January, I go to Anytime Fitness, Susan Presley, I finally asked her, hey, just give me some kind of workout plan, because I never worked with a plan. Mm-hmm. And she gave me one, and I've been sticking with it for a year plus. It's amazing how much just having a plan can help you and motivate you.
Absolutely. That's just like being in the Army. You got a set schedule. You do the things. You're motivated. You have somebody accountable to, which would be the drill sergeant. It's the same thing as a personal trainer. And it's so wonderful and amazing how it works. People don't realize how much the intensity, they're pushed beyond their normal limits. And when their body reacts to that, the metabolism speeds up.
Yeah.
You burn more calories. You feel better. You have more energy, better life.
Yeah, and I can attest to all that. And it's just, you know, once you get that momentum, it's really, it really helps. And I think maybe at this point, a month in, maybe some people don't feel like they have the momentum, or, you know, they're wanting to see results quicker than they're coming. Is that kind of?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what I'm glad we're talking about this. Reevaluate what you want to do and where you are. Yeah, I was a guy that has talked about this, and he was talking about for goals for the longest time. And they said, forget about long-time goals. You want to do 4 weeks at a time. Do a month at a time.
Right.
You set a goal because you can make 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
These folks that try to plan out more than that have a lot of the failure rate is high.
Right.
So set a goal 4 weeks, meet that goal, reward yourself, then set another goal for 4 weeks or so. And treat yourself. If you're not treating yourself, what are you doing this for?
Right.
Most folks are looking at it like that.
So
buy your pair of pants, go on a little trip, go somewhere nice to eat, buy yourself a dress, whatever it is, but have something at the end of that goal to reward yourself.
Is there a point, is there kind of a threshold that you see once people reach a certain point? They kind of get it, and that's when they really stick with it. Maybe if they can stick with it for 2 months, or like you said, 4 weeks, whatever it is, mm-hmm. then they start actually seeing those results and feeling that motivation.
2 to 3 months is when you actually, you yourself will see a difference. And right. everybody else will say, well, you're losing weight. Well, you're the last person to see it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
notice it.
Yeah.
So 2 to 3 months, when you get in and you put your pants on and notch up that belt loop one more, you're going, uh-oh. Or the ladies get in there and get in a pair of pants that they hadn't been able to wear. That's when you got them.
Yeah.
And then they see, okay, I can do this. All they have to do is monitor how they eat, cut back on eat, what they eat, have more fluids, exercise regularly, everything in moderation and portion control, and boom. Let your body do what it's been doing now for thousands of years.
And that's the big other big thing, besides the exercise, is the eating right. I probably struggled more with the eating right than the exercise. And, yeah, it's as key a component as anything, because they work in tandem.
They all work in tandem. You're right. One feeds off the other, and it's like a big, ugly beast out there. If you look up at what calorie consumptions are and then what you're getting when you're taking in, your body's getting twice as many calories from a gram of fat as it does with a gram of protein and carbohydrate.
Right.
So for every more fat you eat, more fat calories, boom, you're coming in. Where are they going? To your men around the waist, women around the hips and thighs.
Yep.
It's been doing that for hundreds of years. So how do you correct that and change it? You cut back, moderation, portion control, and just watching what you eat. It's hard to do. I make it sound like it's easy.
Yeah, it's hard.
However, you start off, talk with someone if you're not sure, and it's easier than you think.
Yeah. And kind of what's just the key to getting started? Is it kind of what you said, just talk to someone, find someone that can help you work up a plan, whether it's someone like you or a private fitness trainer, whoever?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many out there that they know what they're doing. All you do, you just got to, once you talk to them and listen to them, make sure they know what they're talking about and they're certified
sure.
for one thing. Because you got a lot of certifications out there that are not worth a flip.
Right.
But if someone actually knows what they're talking about, they will make sense in what they're talking when they're talking about calorie consumption, daily expenditure, portion control. So you need a registered dietitian to basically tell you how many calories taken in a breakdown.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to step on somebody's toes, you get into that area, you really will get in a fix. But you can talk about some things, generic things, and help, 85% of the people out there.
I'm curious, you can find stuff like this online, like YouTube exercises you can do there or workout routines. And then you see these TV shows about people losing weight. I just saw a new one coming out, Fit to Fat to Fit, and you had The Biggest Loser. That can be kind of, you got to be careful with that kind of stuff. If something online or getting tips from a TV show like that, don't you?
Yes.
like I've heard about The Biggest Loser. That's not really a good way to go about things.
Biggest Loser is, I wish I could do that and I wouldn't have to worry about insurance or anybody suing me. I could make people lose weight.
Yeah,
because I don't have to worry about them. I could make them, push them till they throw up.
Yeah.
But, you got this wrestler out there that's used to do that. He carries them out in the desert and makes them do crazy things. But see, when you get in the psyche of people wanting to lose weight, they'll do anything and everything they see and hear if it's going to make them lose weight.
Yeah.
When all they have to realize is the body can burn, heat up and burn calories, but they can't keep feeding more then they burn it off.
Yeah.
That's it in a nutshell.
And you gotta pace yourself. I mean, you got to push yourself, but you still also got to find the
yeah,
right.
You can't get on a treadmill and walk 5 miles every day and expect to lose weight after 2 or 3 months. I mean, you're doing same muscle groups, same movements. You got to do change.
Yeah, mixing it
up. Muscle confusion.
Right.
Everything out there y'all want to talk about, it's out there, and people say, oh, I want to do that. Well, all you're doing is doing different movements. Jumping rope. We used to do 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best thing in the world, but people don't want to do it.
Yeah.
The rowing machine is one of the cheapest machines that we have, but it hits more muscle groups, total body. Best thing you can do, but people don't want to do it because it's hard.
Right.
So, I mean, they want it easy, but they want it to work.
Yeah, yeah, and it doesn't work that way. Like last night I did this, I'm sure you're familiar with Tabata workouts.
Mm-hmm.
I did one of those last time, to do one of those periodically. The hardest 45 minutes I'll spend in a gym, but quite worth it. I mean, you just it works just about everything.
Okay.
It seems like.
But what'd you do for those 45 minutes? And you can call it a blue helmet. But did you work out hard for 45 minutes?
Oh, yeah. It's 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off.
All right. There you go. We've been doing that for 50 years.
And lunges.
We just didn't call it that.
Lunges, squats, push-ups.
They've been around for
crunches, everything.
Forever.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing.
But people, what? They don't do it.
And here's the great thing about that kind of exercise. You don't necessarily need equipment.
No.
To do good. That whole workout I just talked about didn't need any equipment.
You use your body weight, your body resistance. You can do anything and everything in a room. You can do it in this 8x12 room.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing is, I don't care what you do, what you call it, but if you get your body moving and get it doing the things it's not used to doing, unaccustomed to doing, it's going to burn calories. It's going to make you help you lose weight. Period.
Yeah. Exactly.
I hate to say that, but I could write a book instead of it doing 300 pages, it could be 5.
It's a lot simpler than all the those products and
quit making it so hard.
Yeah, it's not that. Yeah, exactly. It's just hard work. That's all it is.
You got to pay to play.
Yeah, that's right. Edwin Crenshaw here with us of the North Mississippi Wellness Center. Hey, let's talk some non-fitness stuff.
Why I'm not? Here for that.
Why not? I know you and Richard both are pretty big Mississippi State fans. Ole Miss had a pretty darn good signing class there, but State had a solid
State
group.
Did.
What do you think?
It was a shocker yesterday about defense, but I've told a lot of folks, defense is great. State's always had good defenses, but we got to be able to score.
Yeah.
So we need offensive linemen. We need running backs. I think we're okay in a quarterback, but if you don't block for whoever,
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's always comes down to offensive line.
Absolutely.
Curious. Now, I mentioned this. I covered Mississippi State for 5 years, and Dan Mullen's MO kind of seems to be he's not going to get a bunch of 4 and 5 stars, but he'll get those 3 stars and he'll develop the heck out of them like Dak Prescott.
He's doing a really good job with that, and it is tough. It's the SEC now. When you start talking about 4 and 5 star kids, sure, where are they going to go? If you got a chance to go with Mississippi State or Alabama or LSU, Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah, those kids can be persuaded. But the problem is, Mark Richt used to be the ex-Georgia coach, said, because I had a kid that went there, Blake Barnes.
Yeah, yeah.
Worked with him.
Played at Baldwin, yeah.
Yeah, so Mark said he would rather have getting 2 and 3, 4 star quarterbacks where he wouldn't have to face them. So he'd have them on his team, and then what happens? Mississippi State doesn't get any.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it can be done, so I guess you can do it.
Super Bowl, who you got? It's the Broncos and Panthers. I'm going to be pulling for the Broncos. I like Cam Newton, too, but I also like Peyton Manning, and I just don't know if anybody can stop that offense of Carolina.
It's like everybody's thinking. If it's Peyton, if he can, he's going out this year, I'd love to see him win. Denver's got a great defense. They don't have a running game like they normally have. And Peyton was getting killed last week.
Yeah.
Cam and the Carolina Panthers, I think it's their year. He's tough. Michael Orr, I'm excited for him.
Mm-hmm.
He called him in to help protect his blind side. I like that. That was nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what he's making, but I'm sure Cam is going to take care of him.
Yeah, yeah. Quarterbacks got to take care of their O-linemen.
I'm pulling for Denver, of course, but I think Carolina's going to probably win it.
I just hope it's a good game. That's all. Not Absolutely. Like last time Denver was in there and Seattle blew them out the water.
I don't think they woke up until it was over.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. Edwin, appreciate you coming on today. A lot of good stuff. People, stay in the gym.
Thank you very much.
Take
care. If you need anything, let us know.
We'll do. And also, if you're at the gym working out, it's a great place to listen to a podcast like this one.
Oh, I love a podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect time. You're just going at it for an hour or two at the gym.
Pop the earbuds in. Listening to me talk.
Motivation. Listen to this episode over and over.
You need to run and get it over with quick. So I'd be over.
Oh, that's good stuff. Edwin, appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Let's go down to Jackson. Welcome in Bobby Harrison, our Jackson Capital Bureau reporter. Bobby, how's it going?
All right, Brad. How you doing?
Doing well, sir. I want to talk a little bit about a story you had in the Daily Journal today and at djournal.com about chronic absenteeism. A lady by the name of Hetty Chang is the director of Attendance Works out of San Francisco and was in Mississippi yesterday to talk about this issue. Kind of, what was her main message, Bobby?
Well, she was in Mississippi as part of a Kids Count study that was released yesterday. Kids Count, they do studies on education and kids-related issues and you know, provide sort of information to the legislators and other policymakers about issues that might be affecting school districts and children as far as how their living conditions and their ability to advance educationally. And Kids Count of Mississippi, Kids Count released a study on chronic absenteeism, and they found that kids who were chronically absent from school did not do as well as kids who were in school more often, which
well,
is kind of common sense, but you know, but you kind of look at it in perspective, and they define chronic absenteeism as missing 10% of the school year, which sounds like a lot, 18 days until you think about it, that's roughly two days per month, and I think they want to sort of bring attention to the fact to parents and others that, you know, when your kid stays home from school because of their little toe hurts or whatever, that, you know, it could have an impact greater than what you think of on that particular day.
Yeah, you know, and this problem of chronic absenteeism, and again, in Mississippi, the rate's about 15%. It jumps as you get to high schoolers, but what are some steps the state can take? Because, I mean, I would imagine in most cases it goes back to the parents, obviously.
Yeah, well, Carrie Wright, the state superintendent of education, which was also involved in the release of this study, they provided the data that Kids Count used to put this study together, and she was involved in the release of the study, and she talks about, you know, school districts forming committees to look at ways to avert this this chronic condition. And Chain, you know, talked about it was more than just a responsibility of the school districts to make sure the kids were in school. You know, it was obviously the responsibility of the parents, but churches needed to get involved, community groups, business groups, because they made the point, especially in early grades, that, you know, if you learn to show up for school every day, that's, first of all, you know, it makes you a better person as far as being able to contribute to society, and just showing up every day helps us when it comes to learning to show up for work every day later in your life. And so community involvement, and Brad, I think there's going to be, and I didn't get into this in the story, but I think there's going to be an effort to work with the nonprofits in the state, which they also presented this study to yesterday, to develop some type of programs to maybe educational type programs to let parents know and others know that, you know, attendance is important. And as it relates to the state, Senate Education Committee Chair Greg Tollison, you know, pointed out that, you know, we don't have a compulsory school attendance law in this state for kindergarten students, which might sound like, you know, people have made the argument for years, you don't need that. These kids are 5 years old. The parents are going to get them to school most days. For them being there every day is not as important as, say, for fifth or sixth grader. But the study shows that if you start out being chronically absent in kindergarten, it's sort of a predictor that you might be chronically absent as you progress through the grades, and by third grade you are chronically absent more than 10% of the school year. You don't do as well on those standardized tests as the kids who are there every day. That's what the study shows, even in those early grades.
Okay, well, y'all, again, can read the story in today's journal and at djournal.com. Bobby, thanks for joining us.
You bet. Y'all have a good day.
You too. Hey, and if you want more from Bobby Harrison, remember to check out our weekly webcast every Monday, and it's online at djournal.com. You can find it there. It's called Capitol View, and we just talk about what's going on down there in the legislature every week during this current session. So be sure to check that out every Monday afternoon. Need to remind y'all that this Entertain Us voting has begun. Short films by local filmmakers will go head-to-head in the Daily Journal's first Entertain Us movie contest. The submissions are in, and now we need you to determine the winners. Voting will take place daily at djournal.com/entertainus. There will be one head-to-head contest each weekday, and winners will advance in a bracket-style competition. Voting begins Monday, February the 8th, and lasts through March the 6th. Watch the videos, choose your favorites, and be entertained. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Governor Phil Bryant has called a special session of the legislature today to discuss incentives for two projects. The two deals include a tire plant in western Hinds County and the expansion of Gulfport's Top Ship Shipyard. When combined, they're expected to be worth more than $1.5 billion. Bryant said they are the largest economic development projects in Mississippi history. Three Lee County men were arrested Monday after law enforcement uncovered a plot to kidnap Circuit Court Judge Paul Funderburk. Sheriff Jim Johnson said a concerned citizen overheard the men talking at a Tupelo restaurant on Sunday and then notified authorities. William Chance Randolph of Tupelo, Matthew G. Fowler of Guntown, and Thomas Andrew Waddell of Tupelo were arrested. Johnson said the motive appears to have been money to fuel drug habits. A 5K race organized last fall in Tupelo raised more than enough money to provide protective vests to 16 law enforcement officers across the region. Kim Rushing of Tupelo founded the Wives of Warriors support group 2 years ago. The second annual Blessed Are the Peacemakers run raised more than $16,000. Saturday is the deadline to register as a voter in time to participate in Mississippi's federal primaries on March 8th. Only two races will be on the ballot in Lee County. That includes primary races for president and for Mississippi's 1st Congressional District. The Lee County Circuit Clerk's Office will be open Saturday from 8 a.m. until noon to accommodate new voter registration. And finally, the Lee County Soil and Water Conservation District will be giving away free trees on February 12th. That is also Arbor Day in Mississippi. Lee County residents can pick up seedlings on a first-come, first-served basis. The available trees include bald cypress, sawtooth oak, and water oak. The USDA Service Center is located at 3098 Cliff Gookin Boulevard near Heirlooms Forever. I also need to remind you all of Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms.
All right, moving on from talking about the entertain us votes to Scott Morris joining us, talking about his film this week, The Finest Hours. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself, sir?
Doing well. This is a Disney movie.
Did you say you're doing fine?
I'm doing well.
Okay. I said I was doing fine.
But I said I'm doing well.
All right. We're fine.
I'm fine. We're all
it's
fine
It's the finest
here.
Hour here.
Can we get a do-over?
Let's start all over.
I'm fine. We're all fine here. How are you?
But the challenge is to make this podcast great again.
Yes. Unless you come in second place.
And then it'll be fine.
Yeah. Finest Hours, a Disney film, a Disney live-action film, which are sometimes hit or miss.
You know,
But usually they're historical ones. I think of things like Remember the Titans and things they've done over the years are pretty strongly done.
Yeah, this is a well-done kind of irony-free, straightforward telling of a story. And perhaps, because I've seen the previews often, the trailer over the year before it came out. And so you kind of get an idea of what's going to happen. You have this guy played by Chris Pine named Bernie, and he's fallen in love with a woman, but he's in the Coast Guard. And it's the wintertime, there's a nasty storm coming, and he can get called out at any time. And that's what happens here, is that you have a nasty storm, a ship breaks up, and then you have Casey Affleck, who plays, I guess, kind of the chief engineer on this boat that's split in half. And he's trying to keep the boat and the crew working together and the boat up as long as it can. Mm-hmm. And then Bernie's trying to save him, and then Miriam's just suffering and suffering because her man is out there in these really vicious seas. And so it's the kind of movie they would have made 60 years ago, except it wouldn't have been this good of special effects because, I mean, it's seamless. I mean, that's what we expect. That if it's bad, then we notice. But when you think about it, this is kind of this is when they say they don't make movies like this anymore. Well, I mean, this is one of those movies they're not talking about this movie. This is like the old school type of movies of just solid heroes, people of good faith, people who are heroic and rise to the horrible moment to do their duty. And so it's a fine movie.
Fine. All-star cast, really. I mean, with Chris Pine, who's blowing up left and right everywhere right now.
Right.
Casey Affleck as well.
Eric Banya slips in there a little bit.
The younger Ben Affleck. Holiday Granger, who is fantastic. I love her. Did you say Eric Bana's in it? Yeah, he didn't even know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. He's his boss, isn't he? He's Pine's boss. He's in the trailer,
and he uses a Southern accent, and they make fun of him for it because they all have their Boston ac- or Massachusetts accents. And somebody that who is that guy? His name is. I looked him up. His name is Abraham Ben Ruby, and I still didn't recognize that name. But I said, I know that face. Guy, he's from ER.
He was one of the nurses on ER. Yeah.
The whole time I'm watching, I'm going, I know this guy. Yeah. He's got blonde hair and that face, that tall, big guy. I know this guy.
I think he was like the longest running cast member on the entire show.
He doesn't have to work. Time. He's doing it for fun.
Yeah. You know? so Disney film. So it's not all grim. I would hope in the end.
Well, you know that's part of it. I mean, in my review in the paper, you know, in this, they wouldn't have made the movie if you didn't know there's going to be some type of happy ending. But you don't know how they're going to survive or who exactly will survive. You know that there's going to, obviously, I mean, they're not going to have, and they're all left at sea. Lost at sea. But they do a good job of keeping you, the things that they face on trying to get out there that Chris Pine's character faces on the boat, the small boat, the big seas, that's very compelling to see.
Yeah.
And then every ingenious thing they try to do on the busted up tanker, because to try to steer it and keep it afloat for just a little bit longer is interesting. And then you have, I mean, and then those things go wrong and you have people in turmoil and threat. And so a lot of that stuff is going on. So. One of my big problems, I liked Holiday Grainger. I liked
the way, the movie or personal?
With the movie. I just make sure. Well, my coworkers are going personal. One of my big problems are the host of this podcast. But other than that, Holiday Grainger does a fine job, but she goes through so much. And like all the other characters, the male characters, I mean, the day wears on them. By the time they get, everything kind of shows on them. Her makeup is perfect the whole time. And her hair is perfect. And her clothes are perfect. And it's like, had they just distressed her throughout the day? Because it distracted me.
Yeah.
There's also a time when she's out in the snow. And she's just wearing like a dress that has a, you know, quarter sleeve or three-quarter sleeves, no coat, and she's not shivering, she's not cold, she's out there, and to me that those little details did detract. But then, like in an old school movie, like you'd watch something like an old Cary Grant movie or something. When you watch those, they don't care about kind of details back then. But I think we care about that now, and that kind of takes you out of the story a little bit.
And this is cold. It's way far northeast, right?
Exactly. She should have been shivering is what I'm saying, man. I'm saying.
I got you. All right, so you gave it an A, correct?
No. You're all mistaken.
No, I'm sorry. Kelly gave it an A.
Kelly Carlson with Wizard 106 gave it an A. That's and says correct. It's full of love and honor, which I agree with the love and honor part. But I give it a B-.
Well, you both did better than Rotten Tomatoes, who gave it a 58%.
So. Yeah, but you know, it doesn't take much to win me over. I'm kind of a softy when it comes to heroic stories, and I'm used to pulling for people to do good out there on the high seas. So it was an enjoyable film. It had its flaws, but it delivers, and it's a family film that I think grandparents could enjoy with their kids. Kind of thing that kind of crosses generations.
All right.
Showing at the Cinemark.
And based on a true story, of course, as you said. All right, Scott, thanks for joining us.
Almost glad to be here.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, Brad.
It's Thursday, right?
Good segue. Yeah, Scott was just on. That means it's Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Although he was on yesterday and it wasn't Thursday. So.
That's true. Well, that also means we have this scene section that you put together, which means we need to look ahead at what's happening this weekend. And, look. It's The Odd Couple, directed by and starring Derek Russell.
That's buried way inside. We don't need to worry about that. I didn't write that story. I had nothing to do with that.
No, you didn't. But hey, it's a thing that's going on in Baldwin.
It is. You can check out
Clark Ritchie get to play Oscar and Felix.
An updated version of The Odd Couple called Oscar and Felix in Baldwin this weekend, February 4th through 8th.
Yeah.
What times? We open tonight. 7 p.m. the 4th, 5th, 6th. An 8th and 2 p.m. on the 7th.
Which is Saturday? 2 p.m. on Saturday?
Sunday.
2 p.m. on Sunday.
Yeah. So. 7 o'clock, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what else we got going on in the scene section?
Well,
we got this nice centerpiece with the Tupelo High theater department.
30th anniversary, 1986. So,
wow.
I'm a product of the Tupelo High School Theater Department myself. So it's a cool story to write about Debbie Gibbs and Alana Alston, also Ruth Lavakis, who was the teacher before them for many, many years. It's very cool. Lavakis taught Gibbs. Gibbs came back to teach with Lavakis. Gibbs taught Alston. Alston came back to teach with Gibbs. So it's kind of been this continuing tradition.
And which one of them taught you?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Actually, Gibbs did. Alston directed me in a few shows. Alana did, but did not. So very cool tradition there. And then 1986 was the formation of the actual theater department. Before that, they still had productions, but it was open to the entire school. Anybody could be in it.
Right.
And then they...
just any old hack.
And then they compartmentalized. You're looking at me. And then they compartmentalized and actually formed a theater department under the state curriculum in 86. So this, of course, 2016 being the 30th year. They're celebrating that tomorrow night at the aptly named Ruth Lavakis Auditorium at the Tupelo High School Performing Arts Center. And going to be bringing back a lot of alumni, a lot of former students, doing some scenes from shows from the 90s, the early 2000s.
Nice.
Some solos, some music.
So you're going to be out there things. Doing stuff?
Unfortunately, it's at the same time as Oscar and
Felix.
Oh,
yeah, I guess so, it is. That's too bad.
I wanted to record a hello message. That I was asked to give a speech, but I won't be there.
Oh, well. So remind me, when was the... the new high school, we still call it the new high school, built along with the auditorium.
The new high school opened in 1993.
Okay.
So the freshmen of 93 were the first.
But Milam has a little theater. I mean, not Milam. Middle school has a little.
Yeah, the Civic.
Theater that I've been in.
Yeah.
Nice and cozy.
Yeah.
It's a nice little theater.
And a lot of productions were, of course, done there.
Sure.
Well, but the Performing Arts Center was not even built until 2002.
Okay.
So I was a senior when we were finishing up.
2002, that's a year I moved here.
So
I feel old.
They still had the small auditorium in D building at the high school, but only seats like 150, 130, something like that. So
okay. Yeah, I mean, it's that's a nice performing arts center for one thing. And it's one of the nicest in the area.
I believe it to be. Barring the fact that it doesn't have a center aisle, but
details.
I worked on the building heavily in high school. There was a council of kids that worked on it. I actually networked that entire building.
Really?
All the Ethernet cable.
Nice.
So that's why it doesn't work.
Some of it might still work. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So, but when we were talking about it, it had a center aisle. So don't blame us for that. But anyway, it is aptly called the Ruth Lavakis Auditorium, named for Miss Lavakis, who was the speech and English teacher before Gibbs. She died in 2008.
Okay.
So it was named for her.
Okay.
So that's going on. That's a huge deal for the area and for Tupelo Public School District. It's open to the public. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
7 p.m. Friday night at the Performing Arts Center. Donations will be accepted to support the department. Also, the Link Center Artist Residency that happens each February is continuing.
Yeah.
They've been working in the area with several organizations the last few weeks. They've got 3 public performances for the spoken word poets that they have brought to town. One is this Friday night at Aunt B's Soul Food Restaurant over on Green Street, I believe. Is it Green? Green?
Could be. Maybe.
Sure. I eat there. I know where it is. I'm just not sure if that's still Green Street or not. But anyway, 3 of the performers will be there, 7 p.m. No admission for that, but seating is limited. And on Saturday, another community performance at the Link Center in the Black Box Theater, 7:30 p.m., with 3 of the performers, that is $10. And then one more next Saturday, February 13th, that is going to be at the Tupelo Police Athletic League facility in front of Rankin School on Douglas Street. So don't want to miss that. You mentioned Oscar and Felix, of course, going on.
Yep.
Don't want to miss that. And Baldwin, Pied Piper Children's Theater has a production this weekend as well. EGAD, The Woman in White. Mm. It is a comedic melodrama is the best way I can put it. It is a fascinating little story betrayal and wrongdoing and nefarious deeds, but it's hilarious at the same time, and a lot of the fourth wall gets broken a lot as the villain talks to the audience and the audience is encouraged to boo the villain on stage. So that's cool. Pretty cool. That's going on at Milam Auditorium throughout the weekend as well. Friday, Saturday, I I think twice on Saturday, if I'm correct, and then again on Sunday matinee. I'm going to check on that real quick. Yes, 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and then 2 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Okay. $7 for adults and $5 for students at Milam Auditorium in Tupelo. And, yeah, that's about all that's
going on. Hey, also the North Mississippi Dulcimer Association
the
having a
North
show.
Mississippi Dulcimer Association,
My mom plays
course.
The dulcimer.
Does she?
I don't know if she's part of this association, but she has played with a group several
Could
times.
Could we have her on one day?
We already had her and my dad on once. Yeah. I mean, I may have hit their quota there.
No, I think we should have her on and play sometime.
Really?
It could be a great idea.
Tiny desk concert.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so.
Since I haven't been able to work out anybody else to be on here lately. I've tried, but
she plays piano too, but I don't know if we can get a piano in here.
Huh? What?
She plays piano, but I don't know if she can
get
a piano.
Keyboard
in here.
I'd rather have her play the dulcimer on there. Can she do Smoke on the Water? On the dulcimer?
She could try. Sure, she could learn it.
Like it'd be an easy one on the dulcimer. But yeah, they've got a free program at the Natchez Trace Visitor Parkway at milepost 266 on Saturday at 10 a.m. So yeah. They play for like 4 or 5 hours. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah. They do that every couple of months. So that's what's going on. In the weather, here's what's going on in your neck of the woods.
How about that rain?
Yeah.
Well, it's gone, thank goodness.
Yes.
It's nice and sunny and cold, and just like I like it.
Cold?
I like it cold. I've talked about this before. I've been through enough Mississippi summers. I'm done with them.
You go in one ear and out the other.
Done with them. I'm done with Mississippi summers. I'm probably going to
move to
the Midwest.
Just give me a fall. Just give me an October.
That would be nice to have an actual fall. I don't think we actually had one this year, did we?
No, we jumped pretty quickly there. It stayed hot, and then it was just cold.
Yeah. Weather's dumb around here. It's just dumb.
I'll take some breezy 60s.
Yeah. I love Mississippi, but the weather is just dumb. That's all I can say about it.
I think it's probably weirder in this region than it is anywhere else.
It has to be. I don't know. It's
They don't write about that kind of weather in the Bible. That we have here.
Yeah.
Chris, you had something to say?
I was just going to say New Orleans weather is pretty blah. It's hot and humid.
Yeah.
Wet.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're that close to the water.
Not a lot of seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your phone's buzzing.
We got a better chance for fall here.
My daughter's emailing me about an essay. I don't know. My kids have me like proof their essays. Like, what? Am I some kind of writer?
Do I work at a newspaper or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Essay. What are you calling me, a term paper? All right. Well, another week, another podcast.
Yeah.
Wrap up.
We'll be back on Monday. You'll be here, right?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Okay. Good.
You've like fell asleep during that. We'll be back on Monday.
I could use a nap. I woke up.
It shows.
I woke up at 5 this morning.
Yeah.
About an hour ahead of schedule. We got a sick baby. What are you going to
do? So everything, you should be like an hour ahead of everything today, right?
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, because my stories aren't online. I just
No. As of this moment. Well, hey, if you tell the sports department to simmer down, I had to post. They had 16 stories, 16 local bylines.
They had less space than I did
16
yesterday.
16 local bylines in the sports section alone.
Hey, it's signing day. Yeah, people jumping out of airplanes. It's a lot going on.
Those are half the stories right there are signing day.
I'm telling you.
Ridiculous.
Well, regardless, we'll be back on Monday after the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will.
Find out who won, Denver. And
Panthers by, like, probably 3 touchdowns.
I think.
I mean, Denver has the best defense in the league. So, you know, it's kind of the whole good pitching versus good hitting. Usually good pitching is going to win.
I feel
and
like
in this case, usually you would think good defense will win out, but that's not always the case.
I feel like sacrifices have to be made to Denver just because of their airport. We don't want to upset that horse.
That's where the Broncos mascot.
Yeah, I know.
There is a hellmouth in that airport, right?
Yeah, we don't want to upset anything in that place. Let's just
They know who you are, too, Derek.
Yeah,
they tweeted at you.
Me. You want the Panthers to throw the game? Yes, sir. Anything you want, sir. Let's just go along with it. All right, well, check us out online, of course, memo.djournal.com. We're also on Twitter @djournalmemo. All these stories we talked about today, you can find out in your issue of the Daily Journal or online at djournal.com as soon as Brad gets them posted.
You can follow
Brad on Twitter @BradLock with an E. I'm @WDerekRussell and @ChrisKiefer as well. And we'll see you guys on Monday.
See you later.